Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos is daf nun hey. We're continuing in the Gemara from daf nun dal mid beis. We have a little bit to cover from yesterday's daf. We will continue. We are learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah nun dal ad amid beis speaks more about things the animal cannot go out with on Shabbos. As I explained it from the beginning of the parak, there are really two issues that guide us in terms of what can an animal wear and what can an animal not wear. The first issue is that the animal is not allowed to carry on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah, shisas behemto, and your animal cannot carry on Shabbos, and so therefore anything which would constitute a masuah, a burden, cannot be carried by the animal, cannot be worn by the animal. Two, the other issue, which is not related, but it's connected, is the issue of anything which, even if it's a garment, but it is, but it's not tightly fit on the animal, and it's apt to fall off. So the concern is it's going to fall off, and you're going to then be tempted to pick it up and carry it, and you're going to be in the Rishus Harabim, and that's another issue, which is Dal Amos Rishus Harabim. You may end up carrying something for Amos in the Rishus Harabim. So those are the two basic principles that have been guiding us along in the mission that we went through yesterday. So the Mishnah covered both of these issues. We talked about the saddle. The saddle has to be tied on from before Shabbos. If the saddle is not tied on before Shabbos, so then the animal cannot go out with it. Rashi over here explains, as we explained back on Nun Beis as well. Tosfos explains it back on Nun Beis. If you tie it on for the first time on Shabbos, that's not for the protection of the animal. That's just simply a burden, and therefore the animal cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Once you tie it on before Shabbos, it's showing that this is for the protection and the warmth of the animal, and therefore it would be okay. We talked about the bell. The animal cannot go out with a bell on Shabbos, and the reason why, it explained the Gemara yesterday, is because it looks like the animal, you're taking the animal to the marketplace, and it looks, and it would be a violation of Mekach u'Memkar, doing business on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah went on to describe other things that the animal cannot wear. From this point going forward in the Mishnah, Rashi explained that the concern is that these items may fall off. You're going to pick it up and carry it for Amos and the Rishus Harabim. So what we went through yesterday is the ladder on the neck of the animal, which, as we explained, was basically a way of keeping the neck up so the animal would not bend over and gnaw on a wound that it may have. The animal cannot go out with a splint on its leg, the ritzua shebaraglo. The chickens cannot go out with chutim, with strings. Those strings were identifying who the owner of the animal is. The ritzua shebaraglehem, their feet tied together. We explained that yesterday to mean that the chicken doesn't jump up and down and start trampling things. And in the Zechariah Yotzim Ba'agalah Shetachas Aliyah, we went over the wagon that was placed on the tail of the ram so that the tail would not be dragging on the floor. V'esrechem Yotzes Chanunos. The sheep went out Chanunos. I'm just reviewing what we did yesterday. Sheep going out Chanunos, what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara offered a number of suggestions of what Chanunos are. Four suggestions altogether in terms of what Chanunos are. The third explanation of the Gemara was it was a certain type of twig branch that they would put right underneath the nose of the sheep. It would cause the sheep to sneeze, and that violent sneeze would remove all the lice and all the little bugs that were on the head of the sheep. The Gemara asked the question, why don't we do the same thing for rams? So the Gemara answers, because rams butt heads. The Ina Igel Yotzes Begimon. This is what we got up to yesterday, and this is what we're discussing now. The eagle, the calf, cannot go out begimon. What does that mean? We're back to the Gemara now. We're about 20 lines from the bottom of the page. It's three lines before the lines become wide. Ina Igel Yotzes Begimon. My eagle begimon. Amar Rav Huna Bar Nirya. Sorry. Amar Rav Huna Bar Nirya. So it's a small yoke that they place on the calf. And why are they placing a small yoke on the calf? Because training it while it's young, meaning that this animal is going to have a yoke on it all the time. And so basically getting it into that habit of wearing the yoke. So Amar Rav Elazar, my mashman, the high gimon, lishon de mechaf. Now how do I know that the gimon is, the idea of gimon is that the animal bend its head over while it has this yoke on top of it? Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, which speaks to the idea that hagmon is an idea of bending over, right? Just like halachof, just like the reed bends over its head, so too the yoke's purpose is to have the calf bend its head over. V'loba parba or a kupar. Now we talked about putting porcupine skins on the udders of a cow. And the Gemara says, "Dav dileki hechdel mitzuye yale." Yeah, because there's these rodents, bugs, whatever they are, who want to nurse from the cow, and so you put porcupine skins on, and you'll be good. That'll be pest control from these, from whatever these pests may be. Now we're up to the Ritsua. And the Mishnah says that you can have some sort of strap between the two horns of the cow. Now the Gemara reminds us, we already discussed this before back on Dafnan Beis, Ilarav ben Lanoi ben Lasham, and our Rav's position was, it doesn't matter why it's there. Either it's there because of Noi, it's just the beautification of the animal, or Shmira, it protects the animal, perhaps you're going to grab the animal from the Ritsua, whatever the case is, Rav says it's always going to be prohibited, and Ilashmul Lanoi also Lasham Ramotah, and Shmuel says no, if it's for beautification, that's prohibited, but if it's for Shmira, so then it's going to be okay. So the Gemara is just simply reminding us, remember the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, it's always going to be us, and according to Shmuel, depends why you're why it's on there. Now, Paraso Sharev Lazar ben Azarya. Okay, so we start now with the discussion of the last line of the Mishnah, and this discussion will take us through today's daf, and it will continue to tomorrow's daf as well. Meaning we have now two dapim left in the perek, Nunhei and Nunvav. And the discussion which we're going to have, which is great discussion, I mean, fascinating. It's all going to start from the one line of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that Rav Elazar ben Azarya, his cow went out with the Ritsua, and it was Shelo b'Ritson Chachamim, and the Chachamim were not happy about it. Now, the Gemara starts off with a very technical question. One cow, v'chada para havyalei. The implication, of course, is that Rav Elazar ben Azarya only owned one cow. V'ha'amir Rav, amri la'amir Rav Yehuda amir Rav, trace off a egle, have a meiser, Rav Elazar ben Azarya, me'adrei, kol shavas v'shasa. Annually, Rav Elazar ben Azarya would take off 12,000 agalim as his meiser. Now, if that's 12,000 as his meiser, so that means that represents just a tenth of his portfolio, of his animal portfolio. So obviously now we're talking of, and that's his annual meiser. So,
hold it.
I'm going to get to that. Oh, good. So, okay. So, and so what does that mean? One cow of Elazar ben Azarya. And so the answer, which I somehow believe we're all familiar with, if we're not, here it is. Tana lo shalo haisa elo shel shechina so haisa. It wasn't his cow, it belonged to his neighbor. Mitoch shalomicha ba nikreis ha-shema. Now, he didn't reprimand his neighbor. So in other words, his neighbor owned one cow, and the one cow went out with a Ritsua ben Karneha, and he didn't give tochacha, he didn't give rebuke and reprimand to his neighbor. Okay, now, before we continue in the Gemara, and this is now the discussion of, such great discussions coming up now. Most of our discussion that will be occupying our time for the next 15-20 minutes is going to be tochacha, the requirement to give reprimand and rebuke. But before we get to that, though, let's deal with Ben's question, which is, when did he live? Meaning, we're talking about him giving Maaser Behema, and he lived when? Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam, second to last Tosis on the Amud. Rabbeinu Tam is just bothered by a very simple question. The Amar Beperek Basad Becharos. That the mitzvah of Maaser Behema does not apply after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash because Takala. Meaning, there's no Beis HaMikdash, you have nothing to offer it on, so we avoid Maaser Behema. How exactly do we avoid it? Okay, in of itself, its own discussion, maybe a partnership, maybe having a non-Jew as part of the ownership group. Whatever the case is, the Gemara B'choros tells us that there is no mitzvah of Maaser Behema after the Chorban. And now we're going to do just a little bit of accounting because we're going to try to figure out when did Rav Elazar ben Azarya live? Im came as manabayis hava Maaser. So, this discussion of him giving 12,000 cows annually as Maaser Behema, so obviously can only be while the Beis HaMikdash was around. How old was Rav Elazar ben Azarya when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? So, umistama ben yugimel shanahaya, kishi iser. So let's even say that we're talking now where he was a bar mitzvah. I know most bar mitzvah boys are excited they get to put on tefillin. So Rav Elazar ben Azarya, when he became a bar mitzvah boy, so he got the mitzvah of taking off Maaser Behema. Okay, and not just a little bit, but a lot. The imke my kamer dava meister kol shas v'shasa di al karchach lo yeh b'shas korban abayis lechol ayosu ki im ben yudalan o tezvav. Now, the Gemara makes it sound like he did it annually. Well, the Gemara actually says it. The Gemara says it was kol shas v'shasa, every year. And at best, we can project, says Tosfos, that he was maybe 14, 15 years of age when the temple was destroyed. And Tosfos says, do the math, it really works out. Because we know Rav Yochanan Zakkai's nesias, his presidency of the Jewish people, continued even after the Churban. Now we know that Shanosh Nasaim de Kama Takanos Tikan Achar Churban de Kedetnan Mishachar Beis Hamikdash Hikin Rav Yochanan Zakkai. I'm sorry, Ben Zakkai. So we know he lived, and not only lived, but was the Nasi, the leader of the Jewish community, after the Churban Abayis. First of all, the Gemara in Gittin, which we all know that he's the one who basically saved the Jewish people. He's the one who faked death and was escorted out and met with the Caesar and said, here's my request, three requests. That's the Gemara in Gittin. Tosfos over here points to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah over there says that he made institutions after the destruction of the temple. The fact that we shake lulav 7 days and not just 1 day, even though the mitzvah min Torah is 1 day, he added another 6 days midrabanan, that was a post... That was a post-destruction institution, Zeich LeMikdash. So we know Rav Yochanan Zakkai lived after the Beis HaMikdash. Good. That's Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Who's the next Nasi? V'acharav Rabban Gamliel haya Nasi. Shnasayim Ol Gimel. Now, Rabban Gamliel was next. Now we know Rabban Gamliel had a tumultuous position as a Nasi. Right? So let's figure, says Tosfos, maybe 2 or 3 years for Rabban Gamliel before he was deposed. And it wasn't that long ago we were learning brachos together, where we learned about how Rabban Gamliel was deposed from his position. Kodem Shemina Rav Elazar ben Azari, Kedamar Beperek Tfilas HaShachar, Yishtake Tzarei, L'Rabbi Tzadok, V'Kodem Lachin Tzarei L'Rabbi Yoshua. So, he bothered Rabbi Tzadok, he bothered Rabbi Yoshua, Al Takanas HaMoados, Uche Shehemido Nasi Haya Ben Yud Ches Shana. So now, let's put everything together. So we know Rav Yochanan Zakkai was a couple years after the Beis HaMikdash. We know Rabban Gamliel was the next Nasi, and he was, let's even say, 2 or 3 years. Okay, we don't know for sure, but we know it was a couple of years. And now Rav Elazar ben Azariah was put into place. And we know how old he was when he was put in place. He was 18 years of age. Hare ani kiven shivim shana, I'm like 70, but I'm really 18. So yirche shana kedam rahasam, hare b'shas chorban haya, now, work backwards. 18 when he assumes the Nasi. So now, how old was he during the Churban? Well, his predecessor was Rabban Gamliel, and his predecessor was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And even if he had a couple years to each one's Nasius, so you're talking now, he was 14 years of age at the Churban. L'chol Yoser. And now you put all that together, and you end up with a really powerful question. How is he taking off Maaser Behema? As the Gemara here reports that he took off 12,000 animals annually, what are you talking about annually? He was 14 years of age at the Churban. Even if you say that he was at 13, he started taking off Maaser Behema, so you're talking about 1, maybe 2 years of Maaser Behema. So,
how did the young boy, you know,
how did he get the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. Yeah. So, V'yeshlamer kodem gzerahava Maaser. So, Tosfos, it's a strong question, and you're going to see three answers in Tosfos, and you know what I say, the more answers you see, it means that it's a good question. So so answer number one says Tosfos, Dekom Gzera Hava Maaser. So maybe the decree he mentioned in Bechorah said we don't take off Maaser Behema anymore after the Churban, maybe that wasn't immediately after the Churban, maybe that was some time after the Churban. That's suggestion number one. Inami Apotropos Hava Maaser Bekatnu. So, or maybe, as I described just a moment ago, he earned his money the old-fashioned way, he inherited it, and maybe the description over here is not him taking off Maaser Behema, but his custodian, meaning his trustee, who was in charge of his wealth, while he was even younger. V'harav Rabbeinu Chanan Mefarash Hava Maaser Achar Churban Behemas Arnuna LaMelech. Or another proposal is that we assume Maaser over here means Maaser Behema. Maybe, suggests Tosfos, one of the Balei Tosfos, that it just means his taxes that he paid. In other words, when you looked at his income tax, so you saw that he gave 12,000 animals annually as tax, and that is a good indication of how wealthy he is. Okay. Anyway, but it just a great way just to historically place Rav Elazar ben Azariah and to try to understand our Gemara in the context of when exactly he lived. And it also gave us an opportunity to go over the chain of the Mesorah. We went from Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai to Rav Menachem Gamliel to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, wonderful. Okay, now we're back to the Gemara. And so now, it wasn't his cow that went out, Ritzua ben Karneha. It was his neighbor's cow. He didn't reprimand her. And the Gemara says it's important to reprimand. And here we go. The Gemara continues. Now the Gemara just takes a moment to point out that when you see this pairing, or not this pairing, but this grouping, so take out Chalufi Rav Yochanan Umayel Rav Yonasan. Right? Editor's note. It's not Rav Yochanan who belongs in this grouping, it's Rav Yonasan. And the Gemara is always very careful to make sure that we give proper attribution of who said what. But anyway, people in your household are not observing halacha. So, you have an obligation to give reprimand to the members of your household. And if you don't, nitfas al anche beisa. So you're going to have to answer for that. Now, if your members of your city are not compliant, so you have a mitzvah of tochacha, and if you don't, nitfas al anche ira. So you're going to have to answer for that city. B'chol ha'olam kulo nitfas al kol ha'olam kulo. Now, if the world happens to be lax in a particular area, and you have an opportunity to reprimand, so and you don't, so then you're going to have to answer for the entire world. Now, that, of course, is an awesome responsibility, needless to say. And as it will be clear from the Gemara, this is only referring to where you actually have a voice and a powerful voice. Meaning if you're just a simple person who does not really have a voice for the world at large, so then you don't have that obligation. Your obligation really will only extend to where you have a voice. And it's clear from this Gemara. The Gemara says, the Debei Reish Galusa, so they're going to have to answer for the entire world. Meaning, since they have a voice, Reish Galusa, it was a political position, they were the head of Bavel, these Reish Galusas, and because they did have, they had the microphone, and they had everyone's attention, and they had an opportunity to reprimand, and because they didn't, Nitfasu Akoli Alma, they're going to have to answer for that. The pasuk over here describes both zekanim elders and sarim. Sarim are the leaders. Im sarim chatu zekanim chatu. Now sarim, you understand their leadership. Leadership, of course, is at error, and they have what to answer for. But zekanim chatu. But what about the zekanim? Right, Rashi says zekanim over here is a reference to the Sanhedrin. What did they do wrong? Elaim al zekanim shlomichu b'sarim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they did wrong. Zekanim had an opportunity to reprimand the Sarim. They didn't reprimand the Sarim. That's what they did wrong. So so that's what you have to answer for. Rav Yehuda Avayasa Kamei Dishmol Asay Ayisisa Katsavcha Kamei. The Gemara tells a story where the Rav Yehuda was in front of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was learning by Shmuel. And a woman comes by. She's screaming. We'll have a mashkachba. And he didn't pay her any attention. So, in other words, screaming, by the way, means she had some sort of case, she was wronged, and she was going for Shmuel for jurisprudence. She wanted justice. And Shmuel just simply ignored. Now, of course, that seems very callous on the part of Shmuel, and Rav didn't understand, and Rav questions. Amalelo Savalela Mar, Otemaz Nomi Zakas Dal, Gam Huyi Kare Velo Ye Ane. Rav Yehuda quotes to his Rebbe Shmuel, the Pasuk in Mishlei, if you cover your ears from the screaming of the poor, so that means that your tefillahs themselves will not be answered. Right? Mida keneged mida. Right? Very straightforward. Right? You ignore others' petitions, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will ignore your petitions. So Amar Lei, so Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, the nickname, positive nickname that Shmuel referred to Rav Yehuda, Reishcha Bekiriri, Reisha de Reishcha Bechamimi. So he says, look, Reisha, he's referring to his own head. My head is in cold water, but the head of my head is in hot water. Okay, what do you mean with that very cryptic answer? So Rashi explains, look, I'm fine. Why am I fine? Because I don't really have authorization over here. I'm not the head of the Beis Din. Okay, I thought he was also, but in the way Rashi explains it, no, he was not. He was not the head of the Beis Din. So in other words, I understand that I should get involved, but I don't have the authority to do so. But Reshe de Reshcha, but the head of the head, meaning the one who is above me, he's not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's talking about Marzutra, who was the authority at the time. So in other words, he's the one who has the authority, he's the one that should be listening to her right now, and so therefore, his head's going to be in hot water. Meaning he'll have what to answer for because he's in the position of authority. I'm not in the position of authority, so I happen to be fine on that one. Hayasa Marzukva Av Beis Din Dechsiv, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Mar Ukva at the time was the Av Beis Din Dechsiv Beis David, Kram Hashem Dino Lavoka Mishma Vitzilo Gazul Miad Oshek, Painteitse Ke'esh Hamasiyu Va'ara, Av Ein Mechabe Mimne Roa Ma'alalehem. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, and the pasuk speaks to the idea of it's Beis David, meaning only someone who has the authority and the control. So, and he's the one who doesn't respond to petition. So he's the one who has to answer for. What Shmuel explains to Rav Yehuda is, I'm not the authority, and so therefore, I'm certainly sensitive to her plight, but there's nothing I can do, and therefore, it's not on me. I'm like Rav Zera, like Rav Simon, Luchachino Marlahani de Beresh Galusa. So Rav Zera says to Rav Simon, you have an obligation to give tochacha to the members of the household of the Resh Galusa. I'm a little mekabli minai. So he says, well, I know they're not going to listen to me. I'm like, I forgot the little mekabli luchachino mar. He says, I don't care. Meaning you still have an obligation to give tochacha, even if they're not going to listen, you still have an obligation to give tochacha. Normally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give midah tova, and then say, you know what, I take it back and I'm going to replace it with ra. That normally doesn't happen, except for this. Meaning, what's this? This is the opportunity and the obligation to reprimand somebody, and shirking that responsibility. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel, forecasting destruction for the Jewish people. So, Avor Besoch Ha'ir, Besoch Yerushalayim, Vehitvisa Tav Ametzchos Hanashim. And I want you to make a sign. And as we'll learn in just a moment, the sign is specifically the letter Tav, the last letter of the Aleph Beis, on the forehead of people. Over all the abominations that were done. Okay? And the Gemara goes on to explain exactly what the sign is. But basically what we're going to demonstrate through the psukim are the idea that if you have an opportunity to reprimand and you do not reprimand, even though you are bestowed midah tova, it will be nepach, it will be switched to midah ra. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu Gavriel, the Gemara goes on to explain this pasuk. Akash Baruch Hu speaks to Gabriel and he says, Lech Rishom HaMitzchon Shal Tzadikim Tav Shal Dio Shalo Yishlotu Ba'am Malachei Chavala VeHaMitzchon Shereshayim Tav Shal Dam Kedei Sheyishlotu Ba'am Malachei Chavala. So I want you to put a letter Tav on both the Tzadikim and the Rashiim and the Rishayim, but I want you to differentiate. And the way you're going to differentiate is on the Tzadikim, you're going to put the letter Tav, but you're going to put it in ink. And on the Rishayim, you're going to put the letter Tav, and it's going to be in red. In Dam. And that will differentiate between the Rishayim and the Tzadikim. It is interesting because in Mitzrayim, Dam was there to say, don't come into this house. Mm-hmm. And over here, it's just the opposite. Dam was the one saying, these are Tzadikim, and the ones wearing the Dam are the Rishayim. Okay, so that's certainly interesting. Let's go on. So, Midas Adil of Nekash Baruch, Ribon Sha'olam Manishtanu Eila Me'elu. So the Malache HaChavala, right, the angels of destruction, say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what difference is there between these people and these people? So Amar Lo, Halal Tzadikim Gemor, V'Halal Rishayim Gemorim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's easy. They're Tzadikim, they're Rishayim. So Amar Lo, Fana Rebbeinu Shalom, Haya B'Yagam Memechos V'Lo Michu. So the Malache HaChavala now come back with the following argument. But wait a second. The Tzadikim, they had an opportunity to give tochacha to the Rishayim, and they didn't give tochacha to the Rishayim. So Amar La Galav Yadul Shiim Mich Behem Lo Yikabla Mehem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, but I know that's not going to help. Meaning good, so they had the opportunity to give tochacha. But I personally know, I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know these things, I know it's not going to help. So Amra Lefana Rebbeinu Sholom, Mimafanecha Galoi Lahem Migaloi. Okay, yeah, but you're omniscient. So of course you know that. But they're human beings, they're not omniscient. So in other words, they have a responsibility to give tochacha. The fact that it's ineffective, you may know that information, but they don't know that information. And because they don't know that information, they have the responsibility to give tochacha. V'ainu dichsiv, zachin b'chor b'sula tafen Hashem t'argul ha-mashchis, v'alkol isha sher alav ha-tav al-tikshu u'mi mikdashai techelo. Now this pasuk is going to illustrate that even though the original gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to differentiate and to give a separate type of marking to the tzaddikim so that the tzaddikim were not going to be destroyed, but because of the argument of the Malachi HaChavala, which was the tzaddikim should have given tochacha and they didn't, so now everyone's going to be destroyed in the Chorban HaBayis.
You don't even have any responsibility in this case?
I mean, I know we're speaking black and white over here.
Right.
Okay, you're right. The Gemara is making a point, so sometimes the easiest way to make a point is just to speak in very black and white terms. But yeah, you're right. And where do we see in this pasuk that everyone was affected? It's those last two words that I just read. Omi mikdashai techelu. Start with the mikdash. Now, you think that the mikdash over here is a reference to real estate, meaning the base of Mikdash. Uksiv ha'yichelo b'anashim ha'zikeinim. Asher lifnei ha'bayis. And then the pasuk goes on to say, and who did they start with? Anashim ha'zikeinim, the elders. The elders over here, of course, is a reference to the tzaddikim. So you see that even though they were decreed for good, the Malachi HaChavala says, yeah, but they didn't give tochacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to that argument and started with them. Tini Rav Yosef al tikrei mikdashay ela mikudashay. In fact, go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel, and when it says start with the mikdashay, it doesn't mean the base of mikdash, it's actually mikudashai. Those that were holy people, meaning the tzaddikim. Ela b'nei adam shekeimu se Torah kula, mi'alav ve'ataf. They're the people who kept the Torah from the letter Aleph to the letter Taf. And by the way, we're going to start to understand now why specifically the siman of a Taf being written on their forehead. But as we'll see in just a moment, that's an incomplete explanation because that letter Taf was given to both the tzaddikim and the Rishayim. Umiyad, and now we go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel. Vine shishan Hashem ba'im mederech se'ar or se'ir halyon Hashem mipanetz fona v'ish kli mafatzav biyado. So the Navi over here is describing the Malachi Chavala. There were six of them to be exact, and we're going to even be more exact. We're going to name them. Okay, they were carrying clay mafatso, sledgehammers. V'ishecha b'tocham levush abadim, and one of them was the levush abadim. He was wearing white linens. V'keses asofer b'masnav, and they had a some sort of letter on his side. V'yavo v'yamdu etzam mizbech and echoshes, and they stood by the copper mizbeach. And the Gemara is bothered by this pasuk. The copper, what? We are right. What copper mizbech? There was no copper mizbech. In fact, Rashi points out that during the days of Yecheskel, I'm reading from Rashi, b'yimei Yecheskel v'alo shlomo ginzu v'asa mizbech avanim. We're during the period of Yecheskel. I mean, obviously, we're quoting from pasukim from Yecheskel, and it was Shlomo who replaced the mizbech, the nechoshes, the copper mizbech that was built by Moshe. And he made Mizbech Anavim, Avanim. It was a stone Mizbech of 32 Amas. Remember, not that long ago, we described it in detail. So, Asher lifnei Hashem, kata me'achel, ka'adam ha'omer l'chaver, nanas ploniv, u'pasol avoda. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is bothered. What's Yecheskel describing the copper Mizbech? Mizbech Anachosh is mi'hava, amel l'akash baruch, u'itzchil mi'makom, sha'orim shira, lifanai. The Mizbech HaNechoshes is not a reference to the Mizbech, it's a reference to the Levium. Levium played instruments. What were the instruments made out of? The instruments were made out of copper. So in other words, the Chavala, the destruction, started with the Levium and moved from there. Omanin Ushir Shisha and Hashem, now these six quote-unquote men, Malach Echavala, Amar Chista Ketzef Af, Vechema Umashchis, Umishaber Umachla. Now, these are, of course, are totally appropriate names for what they are, meaning, in other words, their names are really adjectives, right? Anger. There's fine distinctions between these words, but they're all synonyms for destruction. Umayshna Tav. And now the Gemara is wondering why the letter Tav, meaning the indication was, the original plan was to write a letter Tav on all their foreheads. For the tzaddikim, it's going to be written in ink. For the rishayim, it's going to be written in blood. And that's a way of differentiating who's a tzaddik, who's a rasha, who's going to be destroyed, and who's going to be spared. Why the letter Tav? So, Amar Rav Tav Tichaye Tav Tamus. So, Rav's explanation is because it speaks to life and death. Tichaye Tamus. Ushmul Amar Tama Schus Avos. Shmuel says, well, the letter Tav is an indication that there's no longer Schus Avos, meaning we're talking about the Churban Habayis, the destruction of the first temple. Had there been Schus Avos, so then we would, there would be no destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that there's a termination of the Schus Avos is an indication that now is the time for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, and now being the time, as indicated by the letter Tav, that was written on, engraved on the foreheads of the tzaddikim and the rishayim. Rav Yochanan Amar Tachon Zechus Avos, and Rav Yochanan says we should be have of chain, right, the grace of Zechus Avos. Reish Lakish Amar Tav Sof Chosmo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Reish Lakish says that Tav is the on the chosam of Akash Baruch Hu, it is not on the chosam, the seal of Akash Baruch Hu, but the end of the seal of Akash Baruch Hu. Damar Rabbi Chanina Chosma Shakash Baruch Hu Emes. What is the seal of Akash Baruch Hu? The word Emes. Emes is truth, right? Akash Baruch Hu is the ultimate truth. He is the Emes. So that is the chosam of Akash Baruch Hu. So the letter Tav is the indication of the end of the seal. And the letters Emes, right, we all know this. The letters Emes starts with the first letter of the Aleph Beis, the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and the last letter of the Aleph Beis, so encompasses the entire 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Additionally, the word Emes is, the Gemara makes these points. The word Emes is, each letter is grounded, meaning it has a base of 2 points, as opposed to Sheker. Okay, we're all familiar. Anyway. So the letter Tav is the last letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Emes. We have the opinion that we just went through, the opinion of Shmuel. Let's just go on a little bit further in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Ela b'nei Adam, Shekimo Satorah Kulam, Elav HaTav. The letter Tav symbolizes the people who keep the Torah, right, Aleph through Tav, A to Z. So, okay. And now we could pause and we could just discuss for just a moment. It comes out from the Gemara that, at least according to Shmuel's opinion, we no longer have Schos Avos. And Schos Avos came to an end. And when did it come to an end? So now we're looking at somewhere towards the end of the Bais Rishon. There's no longer Schos Avos. And so now, can we invoke Schos Avos anymore? And the simple explanation would be no, we can't. There is no more Schos Avos, the merit of our forefathers. So, take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here has two fundamental approaches in terms of how we relate to this Gemara. Tosos Shmuel Amar Tama Zchus Avos, Rav Yochanan Amar Tachon Zchus Avos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The Zchus Avos Tama, Avar Bris Avos Lo Tama. So if we start off with the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam starts off like this. We don't have Zchus Avos anymore. So the merit of our forefathers is gone, and we can no longer invoke Zchus Avos, and that's been true for the past roughly 2,500 years. Okay, roughly. Meaning, I'm just, sketching a rough sketch all the way back to the end of the first temple. Okay. So says Rabbeinu Tam. And even though we don't have Schos Avos, but we still have Bris Avos. Meaning, Akash Baruch Hu made a covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what we can invoke is the Bris. In other words, that's a covenant, and that's forever. Now, I know we're speaking now in real minutiae, in terms of, it sounds like semantics, meaning Schos Avos versus Bris Avos, but it seems clear from this discussion that obviously Schos Avos is stronger, meaning we're invoking the merit of our forefathers that's strong. Had the merit of our forefathers still continued, we would still be having a base of Mikdash. Right? Bris Avos just simply means that there's a pact, there's a covenant. The Jews will not be destroyed unilaterally, but it's not as strong as Chos Avos. Rabbeinu Tam makes the argument that although Chos Avos is terminated, we still have Bris Avos. The Hatziv is Zechartius Brisi Yaakov Af La'acher Galos. Right? Ve'anan Einanu Maskirin Chos Avos El HaBris. And the and we no longer when we invoke Zechos Avos, we're not invoking Zechos Avos anymore, says Rabbeinu Tam, but we're invoking now Bris Avos, like the covenant of our forefathers. So that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So anytime we say Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so Rabbeinu Tam says we're not in the Zechos Avos category, we're in Bris Avos. Okay. El Abris. Mefarsh Tishmol Damri Miyameh Chazal Daik Midechsev Laman Brisov Ala Laman Zechusau. Right? And you just make reference after reference of where every time it mentions Avos, it's not the Zechus, it's the Bris. Okay. The Omer Reed, the Bevayik, or Rabba Daik Me Ad Atak, the Perish Bekushos, so Lari Nira. Okay, fine. Now, that is position number one of Tosfos, and that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. And then Tosfos quotes the opinion of the Re, Ulari Nira, the Lo Pligi Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan. And by the way, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would come out that Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are arguing. Meaning Rav Yochanan, who says Tachon Zechus Avos, would actually be disagreeing with Shmuel. And he would say that no, that we still have Zechus Avos. Now the Re has a different take on all this, and he says no. We actually still have both. We have Zechus Avos and we have Bris Avos. Nira de Lo Pligi Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan. Ela Shmuel kamar de l'rishayim tama, aval l'tzadikim lo tama. Uv tzadikim ayu Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan and Shmuel are both looking at the same thing, but just different points of the same thing. Meaning that Zechus Avos is terminated for the Rishayim. Meaning the Rishayim as a group, as a general group, no longer can count on Zechus Avos to protect them. The only thing they have is, at best, Bris Avos. Tzadikim, even through the first base of Mikdash, even after the first base of Mikdash, still have Zechus Avos. Teda da Rav Yochanan Amar B'samach Demiyemei Chizki Atam Zechus Avos V'ach Kama Da Apish As Chorban Da Basar Hachi Tachon Zechus Avos. And it's clear from the upcoming Gemara, which we'll see in just a moment from now, where Rav Yochanan himself will opine, and he will say that during Chizkiya, which was years before the destruction of the first temple, we no longer have Zechus Avos. And then he's talking during the time of Yecheskel that there's still Zechus Avos. How does that work? It's very simple. Because Zechus Avos ended for a group, a segment of the Jewish people, but Zechus Avos continues for Tzadikim. Okay, good. The Alzanu Smochim Asker Zechus Avos. And now, even to this day, says Tosfos, we can still invoke Zechus Avos because there is still Zechus Avos. For whom? For Tzadikim. For a select group. But so we have now a very basic machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu and the Re, right? The later generation Balei HaTosfos, whether or not there is any Zechus Avos that is left ad hayom hazeh, until this very day. Rabbeinu Tam's position is no, there's none, and we're never invoking Zechus Avos. At best, what we're invoking in our davening is Bris Avos, and the Re says no, there's still Zechus Avos nowadays for a select segment of the Jewish people, for the tzaddikim. Okay. Important machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Re. We're back to the Gemara. We are right after Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emes. One more line after that. Me'emasai Tamas Zechus Avos. Now, the Gemara asked the question, when did Zechus Avos terminate? And now, we'll just simply say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking unilaterally, and according to the Re, we're talking about for the Rishayim. So Amar Rav Miyamos Hoshea ben Be'erei. So we'll have four opinions over here. Number one is it was during the days of Hoshea. Shenema agales nivlusa le'inei me'aveha v'ish lo yitzilenu miyadi. No person will be saved because there's no longer any zchus avos. Shmuel Amar Miyamei Chazael. Shenema v'chazael melech haram lachat es Yisrael kol yimei yoho yachaz וכסיב ויחן השם עושם וירחמם ויפן עליהם למען בריסו את אברהם יצחק ויעקב ולא אבה אשחיסם ולא אשלחם מעל פניו עד עתה. The end of the pasuk over here describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did have compassion and rachmanus until this very point, meaning beyond this point, no longer zchus avos. Rav Yeshua ben Levi Amar Miyamei Eliyahu. It goes all the way back to the time of Eliyahu, Shenema Vihi Ba'alos HaMincha V'Yigesh Eliyahu HaNavi. V'yom HaShem Elokei Avraham Yisrael V'Yisrael HaYom Yivadaki Atah Elokim V'Yisrael. V'yani Avdechel V'Divarecha Asisi Yitzkol HaDvarim HaEla V'Chulei. Today it will be known. Meaning, in any time beyond this point in time, we don't have any zchus avos, cannot invoke the zchus avos. Rav Yochanan Amar Miyamei Chizkiyahu. It goes back to the time of Chizkiyahu, who was 100 years and a little bit more before the destruction of the first temple. Shenema Lamarbe HaMishra L'Shalom in Kates Al Kisei David Va'al Mamachto La'achin Osam U L'Sa'ada B'Mishpat U'Vitzaka Me'ata V'Ad Olam Kinisa Hashem Tzvaz Ta'aseh Zos. Again, me'ata, from this point forward. Meaning that from this point forward, we're in a new condition, and that new condition is no longer we have zchus avos. Okay. Amar avami ein misaya below chet, ve'ein yisurim below avon. The Gemara now goes on to describe how death occurs. Now, we had a daf like this in Shabbos not that long ago, about people dying as a result of their sins, but here the Gemara speaks about it very directly. Death only comes as a result of sin, and the Yisurim, suffering, only comes about as a result of Avon. Now, the difference between Chet and Avon, Tosfos points out, Chet means even Bishogeg, right? Even if it was an accident. It was just simply inadvertent. I wasn't thinking. That's Chet. Avon is deliberate, bemazin. And so Yisurim only come over Avon. Misa can come even over Chet. Okay, even if it was inadvertent sin. The pasuk in Yecheskel says it pretty clearly. It is the sinner who dies. Ben lo yisa ba'avon ha'av, ha'av lo yisa ba'avon ha'ben. And by the way, the Navi goes on to say that there's no carryover. Right? Son doesn't die on account of the father, and the father doesn't die on account of the son. Right, we already know that from Pesukim and Chumash as well. Tzitkas ha'tzadik alav tiyeh, v'rishas ha'rasha alav tiyeh. Everyone gets their proper reward or punishment. Ein yisurim below avon. Now yisurim come as an account of avon, and avon is deliberate, intentional sin. Dechsev ufakadati b'sheve pisham uvenegayim avonam. The pasuk in Tehillim describes that Kadosh Baruch Hu visits on account of pisha, and nega comes. Nega is. I mean, it's saras, but it's plague. That only comes because of Avon. Mesve. The Gemara challenges. We're now on the top of Nenhei Amud Beis. Amru Malach Yashos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom Imnei Ma Kanas Temisa Al Adam Arishon. Why is there a knas of death on Adam? Amru Lehem Mitzvah Kalak Tivisi Va'avar Aleha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know the answer. Well, if you don't, I'll explain it. It's because I gave him one mitzvah. It was one simple mitzvah. Now, by the way, I'm not the one giving the description, the adjective. It's the Gemara. Mitzvah Kala. Just, in other words, any tree you want. Except for that one. Amar Lev Alo Moshe V'Aaron Shekima Kol HaTorah Kulo Mesu. Well, what about Moshe and Aaron? They were Mekayim the entire Torah. Amar Lev Mikra Echal Tzadik Ol Rasha LaTov. Now, interesting. More than interesting. I mean, fascinating. The Bryce's response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, okay, it happens. meaning, Moshe and Aaron didn't sin, right? I'll give you that. Okay. So, and they died. Now, it comes out from this Bryce that death is possible even without sin. What also comes out from this Bryce is that Moshe and Aaron didn't sin. Right. Now, so obviously both of these points need to be addressed. And now, what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to stay on course. Meaning, our discussion is, can a person die without sin? And the Gemara is going to maintain course. No, a person cannot die without sin. What about this Brisa? All right, this Brisa is going to be an issue. But we're going to move on. Hudamar ki aitana. We have another Brisa. Detanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer Av Moshe V'Aaron b'chatam mesu. No, they also died because of sin. Shenema yan lo ha'amantam bi. Right, mei meriva. So ha'amantam bi adayin lo higiaz manan li pater min olam. Had it not been for mei meriva, Moshe and Aaron would not have died. Okay. So what comes out now is that we have a machlokas amongst Tanaim, amongst Brisos, whether or not Moshe and Aaron sinned. And consequently, there's another debate.
But Aaron was also Hilchot Ha'egel also.
Right. Okay. So the and we have another fundamental debate is it possible for people to die without sin? And according to the Bryce on the top of the Amud, which the Gemara right now is just dismissing, I don't know if dismissing is may not be the right word, but right now just putting on the back burner. According to that Bryce, it comes out A, Moshe Aaron didn't sin, and May Marivas to be understood in a different light. Okay, and that requires its own discussion. And two, it's possible for a person to die without sin. But this Brisa, however, that we just quoted, is saying no to both points, meaning no that Moshe and Aaron were not flawless, they did sin, Mei Meriva, and person only dies as on account of sin. Mesu the Gemara has another Brisa, but Mesu Be'itav Shel Nachash. Four people died because of the Nachash HaKadmoni. Meaning, on their own merit, they really had no business dying. But because of the Nachash, they died. The Elohein.
Because Nachash brought death to the world?
Yes. The Elohein, Binyamin, Ben Yaakov, Amran, Avi Moshe, Yishai, Avi David, Vikilav, Ben David. Four people who were flawless. Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, and father of David, and Kilav.
What about the four that didn't die, like
Chanoch
and...
Right. So, and okay. V'kula Gemara. And the Gemara points out, these are all traditions, meaning you don't know this from the Psukim. There's no indication in the Psukim that they were flawless. But we have tradition, Labar Miyishai, Avi David, and the Mefarish Beikra. The only one that gives us a pasuk that speaks to his tzidkus is Yishai. Dichsev the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shmuel Beis Vesamasha, Sam of Shalom Tachas Yoav Atzava VaAmasha Ben Ishu Shmo Yisra Yisraeli Asher Ba El Avigal Bas Nachash Achos Surya Im Yoav. Now we describe over here in the pasuk Avigail, daughter of Nachash. What? Vechi Bas Nachash Havai VaLo Bas Yishai Havai. What do you mean? We know Avigail's father was not Nachash. That was Yishai. So why was he described as Nachash? Dechziv ve'achiyosem Suriah v'Avigail, and the Gemara quotes another pasuk that tells us in Divrei Yomim that Suriah and Avigail were the sisters, i.e., daughter of Yishai. So Ella bas Mishemes be'itiel shel Nachash. It means that Yishai died. In other words, Nachash, of course, is a nickname. He died because of the Nachash, meaning on his own. He had no business dying. But he died on account of the Nachash. So, here's the problem. The problem is that Yishai, together with three others, were perfect, with no chataim, and they died. Right? That now becomes an issue. So, isn't our starting point that nobody dies without chait? So, money. So, Elam Atana Damalach Yeshar. So, now what you could do is you could take this Braisa, which we just went through, and you can align it with the top brisa on this amud, and just simply say that this brisa is in agreement with the Malach Yeshar's brisa. And if that's so then we'll just simply, not that it's wrong, chas v'shalom, it's just that we could segment those two into a different camp, and we could say we're not going with those brisas. Va'ika Moshe va'Aaron, but the Gemara says, yeah, but remember, the Malach Yeshar also has Moshe and Aaron being flawless. So the number of tzaddikim that you have in this world would not be four, it would have been six. So El Alav, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazarhi. So you see that the author of that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazarhi, Shema Menai, Yesh Misa Belo Chet, V'yesh Tisurim Belo Avon, U'tuyufta D'Ravami Tuyufta. So the Gemara says, we have no choice but to just simply say, refuted. Meaning the starting point of the discussion was, people cannot die without sin, and the Gemara says, it's simply not true. It's possible for a person to die without sin. And so now you got to redo all the brises that we just went through, and it is possible to die without sin. And with this, we're going to stop at this point in time and get ready for tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, Reuven. We're hitting them all tomorrow, right? Anyone who was of controversy, Reuven, Shlomo, Shmuel. B'nai Eli, B'nai Shmuel, and of course, David. David HaMelech, Daf Nun Vav. Okay, right, it's a... enough encouragement to get you back in to tomorrow's daf. And it fits in with Parsha HaShavua this week. Unbelievable how it will all work together. Okay, Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zeva Cohen Ben Shanron Rivka. Okay,